Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
2 seconds and one, and that's it. Game one to the Miami Heat. Final score to begin this best of seven series. The Heat 108, Knickerbockers 101.
They're going to see if you can make your threes. And the Knicks shot 20%.
Well, the game tells you what to do. You know, so if you're open, you got to let it go.
That's terrible. You're not going to win any games. If you shoot 20% from three-point range, this is going to be a very fast series. This day and age, if you can't shoot the basketball, you're not going to win games. That's it.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
And here we are, 11 hours until they drop the puck. Out in Jersey, Rangers-Devils Game 7. This portion of the show, driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop AllAmericanFord.net. That's AllAmericanFord.net. I was on the verge of thinking this thing was right about done. Down 1-0. Devils were dominating. Rangers get the power play. And who, of course, does what he's been doing all postseason long? Chris Kreider on the power play, deflection in, and then the floodgates kind of open from that moment on.
Yeah, where did that shot come from? Remind me.
Zibanejad took it from the left side, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Good call by you.
In the spot where he should be.
Well, looks like he's back to where he should have been.
Yes, which is nice.
Which is nice. Rangers switched up the lines a little bit heading into Game 6 also.
Yep, trying to make some adjustments. But, I mean, you just mentioned Kreider. You had Mika, Tarasenko. I mean, in those games, in those moments, I mean, when your back's up against the wall, I mean, your best guy's got to be your best guys. And Igor was great, and he gave the Rangers an opportunity to figure it out. They did, and now you go into a game seven where you hope that all the experience that they had last year in situations like this pays off. I think it'll be Schmidt and net, and you finally got to him.
It has to be, right?
Listen, I thought it would have to be Omark last night, but they went with Swayman, so I would say it's going to be Schmidt. If it was up to me, that's the decision I would make.
I think if it's not, you made a real big mistake if you're Lindy Ruff.
Sometimes these coaches overthink it, man.
I know. They really do. I can't believe they didn't go with Ullmark last night.
Well, there's some talk that he's battling through some kind of injury, though, too. So,
I mean, but Schmidt's been so good in the series.
He's been great.
And he had one game that wasn't, I mean, he wasn't great. He wasn't horrendous.
Well, no. I mean, the first goal is going wide, hits a shin pad and goes in. I mean, Mika's chance in front is that's a grade A scoring opportunity. He buries high.
And then who scored? Tarasenko scored the third one?
Tarasenko scored the third one, and then Goudreau scored the fourth one.
Yeah, but once the Rangers took a 3-1 lead, you felt a lot better. I was on the verge of a nervous breakdown on Saturday. Down 1-0, Devils skating all over the Rangers. I was this close from, I don't want to say tears, because I think I'm past that point in my life, but being despondent, not talking to others for the rest of the night.
Yeah, I would have a hard time with it, too. I mean, I had a hard time with the Islanders bowing out.
Bad goal from your goaltender, too.
Not great. Not a great play, either. The old fanning on the stretch pass is never what you want. But, yeah, you can't let, I mean, that's a goal that can't happen. Off-angle shot like that. But that's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about the Rangers. We're talking about Game 7.
All right, so here's my question for you.
Yep, yep.
You love the Islanders. You detest the Rangers, right?
That's right.
But you love hockey.
I do love hockey.
Rangers win tonight. You get a lot more hockey discussion. A lot more, right?
I would imagine so, yeah.
Let's be fair now. Devils win tonight. We'll discuss a little bit, not nearly the same level of discussion. Who are you rooting for tonight?
Here's the thing. Uh-huh. There's a lot that goes into this because you're not wrong. The more hockey we talk, the better it is for me. Also, Steve Valiquette, dear friend of mine. I mean, he does pre and post for all these Rangers games, so the more they win, better for him also. Here's the thing with Boston losing. And I kind of actually, I don't hate the matchup Rangers for the Rangers against Carolina. A little concerned now.
So if they win, you worry that the big boys are not standing waiting for them.
I'm a little concerned now.
Right. So if the Rangers win, you think you could be talking about maybe a hoisting of something?
I don't know about a hoisting of something. I mean, but you talk about getting through a tough first round against a really good Devils team. And now you go up against the Carolina team that you beat last year, have had success against. I mean, are you guaranteeing me that the
I'm
Rangers
not guaranteeing you
series?
Anything. Well, I'm guaranteeing you nothing. They could bow out in five games to Carolina. They could win the whole thing. What do you want? You want the Rangers to lose tonight, be done with it, you don't have to stress about it? Or do you want more hockey discussion?
No, I'm not going to answer the question. I see what you're
I think
you're
need to.
Me. No, I'm not. You're baiting me.
I'm not. How am I baiting?
You're baiting
Raymond? Raymond? How am I baiting? I'm asking a legitimate question.
Yeah, but you know where it's leading.
I don't care, really.
What do you mean you don't care?
No,
I don't care.
Really, you care. You care. You care. Don't lie to us.
Well, why do I care? Tell me why I care.
Because you do. Because you care about everything. Because if you do a read and you mess it up and you have to do it four or five times, you care about that. This is Game 7, Rangers-Devils. You might not tell us how you care, but you care. So who are you rooting for tonight?
I think I'm rooting for the Devils.
Mm-hmm. Terrible.
Well, because I think this, especially with the Bruins losing, the trades that were made, like this would hurt a lot. This loss would really sting.
And that would make you feel good about it.
Yeah.
See? You're a bad guy.
Nah, I wouldn't say he's a bad guy. At least
he's a bad guy.
He's being honest with himself
now. No, you know what? Because I know what'll happen. I've said I didn't text him. I didn't get in touch with him. I didn't mention the Islanders. I was even nasty about him today. If the Rangers lose tonight, you know what he'll do tomorrow? He'll be nasty. He'll be unbearable.
Speaking of, Aaron Rodgers making his appearance this weekend.
He was at the Garden twice.
It's a good time.
He wants to really fully experience what it's like to be in New York playing for a New York team.
Well, who cares? Good for him.
He's quote tweeting the teams, putting the jet emojis. It's all fun. It's all great.
You know what? You see what Rick does, and he's such a professional at it.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I want an answer. You're rooting Devils, is that right?
I'm not really actively rooting for anybody, but I mean, would I mind if the Rangers season comes to an end and all the people that introduced themselves as "Hi, I'm Jeff, the Rangers fan," are just crying tonight?
All
because
right. Well, then we'll start talking about Jose Buhto and the Mets. Is that what you want?
A team was built to win a Stanley Cup.
That's what you want?
No,
Daniel Vogelback. Why is he batting seventh? That's a man who has a lot of weight on him.
Thank you for the call. I wish the Rangers had drafted me.
I'm still mad that game went final.
Oh, the Mets game on Friday?
It's a joke.
Ridiculous that they played the game. The forecast was awful. Should have never started that game. By the way.
Oh, yeah.
And this, don't you mock me.
No, I'm not mocking you anything. I'm interested to hear what you're going to say.
Do you know where you can consume the Rangers-Devils game tonight?
Right here.
Well, you can hear it right here on 98.7 ESPN, and you can watch it on ESPN television.
Very nice.
Isn't that beautiful?
It is very nice.
ESPN.
Yes. Nobody says it more concisely and wonderfully.
ESPN.
Than Michael K. What are all these K drops today?
A lot of K drops.
You going after him again, Raymond?
What makes you think that that's me playing them?
That's
RJ.
That's RJ.
Santiago and Michael are great now.
Oh, please. They're not great.
They are great.
No.
Everything's awesome. What are you talking about?
You know what you could tell? Dave's not getting out. He's not doing all the things he loves to do as much because I think he comes here on Monday after a very, status quo weekend. He's holding down the fort.
It was not a status quo. I was so busy.
Well, that's what I mean.
Weekend.
You're maintaining the house, and I think you come here on Mondays, and it's like overload for you because you like to be plugged into what's going on in the social circles, and you just want to stir it up. I think that's what your goal is here today.
No, and listen to what I have next weekend. and I already started this. Raymond, you'll know this. When do the Knicks play? Oh, the Knicks next Saturday, right?
That sounds right.
Do we have a timing of that game yet?
We do, if you give me a second.
What time is that game?
That's a 3:30 tip-off.
Oh! All right. So there you go. So my buddy, his son's bar mitzvah, and I texted him, and I said, listen, I don't know that I can be there right at the jump, but I guess I can. That's nice.
What time's the bar mitzvah?
7 o'clock start.
Yeah, I guess you'll be fine.
All right.
Will he have pyrotechnics like you have?
I don't know what they're going to do. They're having it at a yacht club, though.
Do you think Dave sits there under the bar mitzvah and he just silently judges, like, that's not like ours?
No. I don't judge anybody.
Are you going to dress up like a little sailor?
I don't think so.
For your little yacht club party?
I don't believe that. No, I'll wear a suit and I'll look delightful.
All right. I thought maybe it was like a theme, little theme kind of thing.
A theme? Like I walk in with an anchor?
No, I don't think you need to walk in with an anchor. I mean, Sherry walks in with you, which is kind of like an anchor.
Uh-huh. I guess I could bring you if I had to walk in with an anchor. Rick, you want to go to a bar mitzvah with me? Why? I'm supposed to bring an anchor.
That's real funny. Nice.
Yeah. You'll fit right in. All right, 1-800-919-3776. You can call on the Rangers Devils, or you can disguise that it's going to be a call on something else and then morph into a call on the Rangers Devils. All the experience, because they were there twice last year, down 3-1, come back, beat Pittsburgh, win game 7 overtime. Then they do it again, don't win a road game against Carolina, game 7 on the road, they smashed Carolina. Do you like the Rangers' chances to win this game tonight? Forget about who you're rooting for. Do you give the Rangers a better than 50% chance to win this game tonight?
I do like their chances, yeah. I do. I believe in experience, and I also believe in the fact that, you know, in a spot like a game 7, I mean, hell, the reason why you don't want to get to a game 7 is because, I mean, crazy stuff happens, but I think the Rangers have been there, they've done it, and I think that Igor Shesterkin is...
He's
one of the best goalies in the game.
He's just better, right? Whoever the Devils go with tonight, the Rangers have the better goaltender.
Yeah, I think that's the case in a lot of series they'll play. And the fact that Mika woke up, I think, is big. That's important. And your best player is going to have to show up, and you're going to have to be disciplined. You're going to have to make sure you're making, I mean, your puck management is good. The Devils are a tough team because they're so skilled and they're so fast. But, I mean, the Rangers have to find a way to... I mean, because you're not wrong. I mean, early in that game, it was a little sketchy.
Devils were by far the better team.
It was a little sketchy, yeah. But I mean, you got to get pucks in. You got to find a way to get a forecheck, keep pucks in the zone. I mean, that's the best way to neutralize. You know what Jersey wants to do is get pucks behind the goal line, establish a forecheck, make them play in their defensive zone, start turning over pucks, trying to make cute plays. It's not going to be good.
Power play clicked again on Saturday, which is important.
Yeah, because I honestly, and I'm not the only one that believes this, is they feed off their power play, good or bad. They get the power play going, you see the confidence build. If they don't, I think it zaps some of their energy. I love game sevens, though, man.
You know what? They're more fun when it's not your team.
Right. I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, they have a couple game sevens. The fact that Boston went into OT, and then you had the Kraken Avalanche Game 7. I mean, not great for the NHL that Boston's out, Colorado's out. But
no. You see the NBA teams, by the way, all the markets that are in? First of all,
by the way, hold on. Time out before you start bringing up markets. How about Steph Curry yesterday?
Oh, my
he
God.
Did?
I mean, he's sensational.
Oh.
So, I mean, you can't even use words to describe what he did in that game yesterday. He was absolutely sensational.
That is the definition of willing your team to a victory.
I mean, he scored 50 points. He was dominant. He's such a special player. He's a great shooter. He doesn't get enough credit for just, you know, because there's this thought that he's the greatest shooter in the history of the game, which I think unequivocally he is. But he's so much more than that, isn't it? I mean, he's got a great handle. He can get to the basket. He dishes the ball. He rebounds well. I mean, he's a wonderful player. And you saw that on full display yesterday.
Yeah, he's never really in the conversation for best player in the NBA. His best shooter, Gary, I mean, that's not even a question. But as far as when you start talking about who the best player in the NBA is, his name rarely comes up. It's usually Giannis and KD and Luka, Jokic. Like, you don't really talk about him. He's not a young guy either.
He's 35.
Right.
You know, I was reading something the other day. Guess how many miles he runs during the course of a game?
That's the most impressive thing about watching him play.
Is that he never stops moving.
Never stops moving.
Guess how many miles he runs during a typical game?
7 miles.
10.
10 miles?
10 miles during a typical game.
Holy moly.
Right? Let's take a listen, a little bit of Steph Curry. Who, in fact, can stop you?
So who can stop Steph Curry?
Hopefully we'll never find out.
Well, it's heading in that direction. Here's Steve Kerr just waxing poetic on how Steph Curry is incredible.
He doesn't surprise me. We all take him for granted because he's brilliant night after night, and we've been watching this for 10 years. And, you know, you just have to remind yourself every once in a while, big picture, this is one of the great players in the history of the game.
I mean, if you're Adam Silver, you have to be. You get Knicks heat, and now you get Warriors Lakers. You have to be salivating over that series.
Absolutely. I mean, as good a story as Sacramento was,
and they'll be good team. For years, too.
Right. I mean, you want it. This is the matchup that you wanted.
Oh, delicious matchup. By the way, RJ, are you you sold it all on the Nuggets, or just was it just a one game nothing?
I knew this was coming.
Uh-huh.
And you'd be right. You'd be right to chirp today. That was a heck of a performance.
They
Jamal
pounded,
Murray looked great.
Pounded
mm-hmm.
your fancy Phoenix Suns.
I don't know if they're my sons, but Denver looked great. Jamal Murray looked like it was 2020, 2021 all over again, so yeah.
You want to change your pick for that series?
Not a chance.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
DiPietro Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. Did you know that this was coming?
I knew this was, as we waited for it?
Yeah, as we waited. I didn't know that this was the song.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is why we ask that you let the song breathe a little.
I let it breathe, and at this point, I wanted to start to do some sports talk.
Ray had one misstep. There's no chance he's going to have a second one. So I'm very confident in Raymond and his music.
I think Raymond is excellent, but you know what they say: when you have one misstep, the others are to follow. I thought maybe today was just not going to be a day for Raymond. Maybe he's focused on, I don't know, a Game 7 Rangers Devils tonight.
Or the Jets stomping out his Cowboys.
Why?
Santi, when this happens, when I stomp out your Cowboys and I win the jersey from Coach Channon, I think we also should include, you're going to need to start calling me Coach Rick.
I'm not the one who agreed to this bet.
For a full week, but don't you want to have Channon's back at your coach?
Can we get a wager, though? Can we get a nice wager between the two of you?
You've already got Coach, though. You're good.
Yeah, but there'll be something better between the two of you.
If it's only for a week, I could live with it.
Yeah, call me Coach Rick for a week.
Coach Rick?
Sure. Coach Rick. And what would you have to call him?
Whatever Maestro. He wants. Whatever he wants. He can pick.
Maestro.
We could think about it.
He's the Maestro.
We got a lot of time to think. Schedule's out in 2 weeks, I think.
I heard when the NFL schedule is going to be released, by the way.
Yeah, Raymond just said it.
If by heard, did you mean you read Adam Schefter's Twitter?
No, I did not. Funny man. I was driving in the car yesterday, and I was listening to, I guess, Ty, and he said that he had read that this was going to be the case. So I, in fact, heard when the schedule release is going to happen.
Third hand.
Whatever, I heard it.
Care to share with the people listening?
Well, I don't like that I'm made fun of, but yes, May 11th is when we're going to find out.
10 days.
Next Thursday, May 11th. Can't wait.
I'm so excited for the season.
Of course you are. Because then you're going to find out exactly when you're playing the Giants and when you're playing the Cowboys and the Eagles and all your these teams that you can't stand.
It doesn't matter where we play you, when we play you.
Are you really of this mindset? He's going to be, you know what's going to happen? He's going to be insufferable. Insufferable.
No, you know what I'm doing? I'll tell you exactly what I'm doing. Is I'm putting so much into this season that I want to feel every ounce of the good and bad that happens this season.
But what's going to happen is you're going to be such a jerk
yep.
that you're going to make the person that doesn't really care dislike the Jets.
Good.
That's good. How is that good?
I don't care if you don't like the Jets.
Like I don't think Ray cares. I think to Ray the Jets are irrelevant. But what's going to happen is you're going to act like such a buffoon that you're going to make him hate the Jets.
We're relevant now, buddy.
Oh, they're very relevant.
Very relevant.
Yeah, relevant, yes. But I think now he's gonna detest them. Maybe I'm wrong. Ray, do you think there's any truth to what I say?
I don't think it's necessarily because of Rick, but again, I kind of detest the quarterback, but you know, it's not because of his
don't
many,
talk about my quarterback
it's
like
not
that.
Because of his many personal issues, whatever. Like the guy has tortured me on the field now for over a decade. So
yeah, you shut your mouth about my quarterback.
That's my problem with him. That's all it comes down to. And if it happens again on Thanksgiving or whenever that game does happen, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. I'm not sure I can handle it.
You sure you want a Thanksgiving day game, by the way? You want that 4:45 Thanksgiving Jets and Cowboys?
I mean, I think the Thanksgiving game they won this year was like the first one they'd won in 5 years. So it's not like my Thanksgiving hasn't been ruined in recent years.
Rick,
by them.
You sure you want that? I know you have it regardless, so you have no choice. But Rick, you sure you want that?
Yeah, I want to ruin Raymond's Thanksgiving is what I want to do.
You want to make me not eat? I
you should eat.
But I'll be sick.
I wouldn't trust what's in the mashed potatoes. I can tell you that much.
I won't eat.
The nastiness is just you're gross. Just too much.
I can't wait to watch Joe Tippmann take Micah Parsons and throw him right to the ground.
I'm
going to have to get past Mossy Smith first.
I'd like to see that happen. And by the way, do I need Micah Parsons commenting on every pick of the draft? Oh, that's a great pick. Oh, that's an awful pick. You know what? Stop it. I don't need you to sit here and analyze everything.
Micah does put himself out there a little too much.
I mean, we get it. You're a great player. Let's
leave
it at that.
Get the player's perspective.
All right. So how do you feel about the locals in the draft? Go ahead. Start it up. Let's go.
Well, because you know what I'm going to say, because I texted you already.
Yeah, you did. Go ahead. Lead us off. Jets, Giants, how'd they do in the draft?
I thought both teams did well. I think the Giants did better than the Jets. I mean, nothing really splashy for the Jets. I'm aggravated that the pick swap was involved. Because
yeah,
I was,
you would
I
have
was really
offensive
hoping to
lineman
get the tackle.
Otherwise.
Yeah. But they made a quick pivot and added a pass rusher, which I'm sure Robert Saleh was pumped about. You got Tippmann. We'll ask Mel about that. I know Mel kind of preferred Michael Schmitz, who you guys got. But, I mean, watching some of the tape on Tippmann, he's a big guy, but he's a really good athlete. So I like that. Has a chance to start, they said. Bring in a running back who is pretty damn explosive in case Breece Hall it takes him a minute, which I think it probably will. I think it's unfair to think that he's just going to all of a sudden come back from an ACL and be...
in well under a year.
Yeah, be the same player. And then your Giants, man. I mean, I was looking at something. I know you like Warren Sharp a lot, and I'm sure you probably already saw it because you've been salivating.
A plus, right?
Well, A+, he said. I mean, best value of the 2023 NFL draft goes to the Giants.
Well, the thing that's great to me, and you know what I love, and it was so anti what Gettleman used to do, is he's so malleable. Like, if there's a guy that he sees, he's willing to, they moved up in the first round, they moved up in the third round. Rick, I don't know how many, and it's not just one, how many mock drafts I saw leading up to the draft of the Giants will take Jalin Hyatt in round one. and to nab him in round three, it feels like that could be one of the steals of the draft.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a stud, man. I liked him a lot, a lot. And he had, I mean, he had unbelievable chemistry with Hendon Hooker at Tennessee. But you want to talk about big play receiver down the field, contested catches, got great hands, great speed. This is the, I mean, this is the receiver that you needed to add to that room, which is going to make Saquon Barkley's life a whole hell of a lot easier if you got a guy that can actually pose a threat down the field.
And take the top off a little bit. So Right. Now look at what you've added. Remember, it was Barkley and it was almost nothing else last year, right? So now you've added Hyatt, you've added Darren Waller, you've added Paris Campbell. Hopefully at some point, not too late in the season, you'll get back Wandale Robinson, and you still have Isaiah Hodgins. That's a very nice feel as far as weapons are concerned, I think, with this Giants offense.
Right. Not to mention that you helped to solidify the offensive line, which is important, and you got the corner that Wink Martindale loved.
And the more I read about him, I mean, just an athletic freak. Freak.
Yeah, we got our tight end that we drafted, too, is like, as far as tight ends are concerned, is an athletic like anomaly.
Big boy, too, right?
Yeah, big boy, is fast. Like, you know, we were talking about Deontay Banks' athletic score.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the same kind of deal with Koontz.
Yeah, and by the way, now you're an our tight end?
That's what do you mean? It's always been our tight end. It's my Jets.
Okay, that's fine.
But what? Yeah, you see how? I mean, you see how they treat us when we go to the Jets.
I was there once,
right? But you saw how they treated us.
They were very nice.
Beautiful Jets helmet. DPH on Rothenberg. Rocco gets a beautiful Sauce Gardner jersey. I got a big giant bag of swag.
I got nothing.
Of course, we can't even get a Giants guest.
No, but I got nothing.
Because they know you're not a Jets fan, and you won't wear it. Why would they give you anything?
You'd figure they would try to sway me, to woo me.
No, they know it's impossible. Why would they do that? I don't understand why they would put themselves through that.
So, did I tell you this? That Alex wants to go to Jets camp with us?
I should bring him.
And I said, listen, if I bring you, what happens if you become a Jets fan? He says, no, I promise that won't happen.
Yeah, he's you. There's no way it's going to happen, but I'm sure he'll be gaga over.
He wants to meet Aaron Rodgers.
Meeting Aaron.
That's who he wants to meet. He's like, I really want to meet Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, our tight end, 6'7".
6'7".
6'7", buddy.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Mel Kiper, he finally did it. He finally did it, and he didn't just do it once. He did it twice, Rick. Did you hear both of the mentions our show got live on ESPN's draft coverage?
I heard both. Would I be opposed to hearing them again? No.
Okay. All right. So Thursday, nothing. Crickets. Friday joined us, and we said what happened. And Friday, he remedied to make that right. Here is the audio from Friday night.
Yeah, I've been on the radio with DiPietro and Rothenberg, right? All I talk about in New York is the New York Jets in the offensive line and helping out Aaron Rodgers. And you think about John Michael Schmidt, center from Minnesota, yeah. Joe Tippmann, center Wisconsin. It could be a guard. So there's interior offensive line that it would make sense at this point in the draft.
I thought that was well done. I heard from a lot of people that it felt forced. I don't feel like it felt forced. I think it was good. I think Saturday was better, and we'll hear that in a moment. But give us your analysis of the Friday mention from Mill.
No, I thought it was great. I mean, what would you expect? I mean, that's how you throw it in, is that we're talking about the Jets. He's on with DiPietro and Rothenberg constantly talking about the Jets and the Giants, so this is the way to do it.
RJ, you said maybe you thought it was a tad bit forced on Friday.
If you could see his face, I actually felt guilty in a way, like we had backed him into a corner.
Not we, Dave.
Yes. Well, so listen,
I'll do it again.
I think the audio, it sounds fine. It sounds nice, actually. But if you, I mean, Ray saw it also. I'm sure both of you have. Like, the look on his face, it looks like, oh, I need to do this because I need that whipped cream.
No, I didn't feel like that at all. I felt like I love these guys. They're part of the fabric of my life, and I want to make mention because I want to make mention.
For me, it was less the look on his face and more the look on Booger's face. Booger had this like smirk on his face, like they talked about this like during a commercial break, and he's like, "Guys, I've got to get this in. These are my suppliers. I need to make sure that they're satisfied."
So you think the only reason he made mention of our show is because he has an addiction?
I think it plays a part.
No, wow. You guys are terrible people.
That's not very nice.
Not nice at
all. No, I don't mean it to be mean. I'm just saying, like, Mel knows where his bread is buttered as far as this stuff goes, or where his cream is whipped as
no, where his pie is creamed, Raymond.
I think we backed him right into a corner. But Saturday, different story.
All right, let's take a listen. Here is, I mean, this, if you didn't hear this, Saturday, we weren't just mentioned, we were a topic of conversation. Here we go.
Hey, it's, yeah.
Don't do that again.
DiPietro and Rothenberg have a radio show in New York. For coming on their show, they send me, and Kim always says, "What's that box? This might be my whipped cream." 16 cans of fat-free whipped cream coming every month.
Every month?
I do love how it's fat-free to go against Rothenberg in New York, package it, and send it.
All right, explain it to the viewers.
16 cans? Wow.
I mean, the man loves us.
That is golden. See, that one, I don't question one bit.
So you think the first one forced, you think the second one just, he did that all on his own?
Genuine all love. You saw they brought him out the pie. He was excited. He was in good space at that point.
40 years from Mel covering the draft for ESPN.
And they screwed it up, which makes him appreciate us even more.
Because they brought him fatty whipped cream.
The full fatty, yeah.
Yeah. Because they don't know him, they don't appreciate him, and they don't love him the way we do.
Of course not.
Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Hi, Ira. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, very well-deserved spot. I'm glad you got it. And the second one, he definitely gave you your credit. As for the draft, listen, you know, all due respect to Kiper, any of these guys that do it for a living, you know, these A, B, C, D grades, I mean, in 2 years from now, wake me up, we'll know how we really did. But if you want to look at it objectively, the Jets addressed pretty much every need they needed. It would have been nice to get that tackle in the first round. Didn't work out. But like Rick mentioned earlier, I love the running back out of Pittsburgh, an explosive player. If Hall's a little slow coming back, I think, you know, he might be able to pick up the pass blocking. Maybe he could fit in right away. And I'll tell you, one of the guys, and I know it's a long shot, but that's the kids I root for, the tight end at Old Dominion. I mean, if this guy could run and chew gum at the same time, I mean, to give Aaron Rodgers a 6'7" target, I mean, if they could get a package for this guy in the red zone, I mean, this could be a home run. So at the end of the day, we'll see how it is. But I think Joe Douglas, he did what he needed to do. He hit spots that they needed help with.
My one concern, thanks for the call, Ira, Rick, is to you, is left tackle. I mean, am I really heading into the season with Mekhi Becton as my starting left tackle?
Well, you got Dwayne Brown. I mean, okay. With Dwayne Brown, you kind of hold. I mean, it's hoping he can stay healthy. Yeah, I mean, you're putting a little stock. You're putting a lot of stock into Mekhi Becton coming back and being someone that can contribute and stay healthy. He's lost the weight, which is great. I mean, that's step
one. He's played how many games in the last 2 years?
Right. Listen, I'm not disagreeing with you. I mean, would it have been nice to have, you know, Broderick Jones? Like, I mean, a high-end guy that you can hopefully plug it and play? Yeah. I mean, Carter Warren is not going to be a guy that starts right away. But you got AVT coming back.
Right.
You sign McGovern. You bring in Tippmann, who can play center or guard. Hopefully, Lakin Tomlinson is better. You got Max Mitchell.
It's not ideal.
Listen,
they
it's
got
not
a
ideal.
Lot of names.
I'm not going to pretend like it's ideal. No. I mean, this is the risk you ran with swapping picks.
Let's hear from Mike Tenenbaum, ESPN Radio, former GM, of course, of the Jets, asking about the Jets' left tackle.
If I'm the New York Jets, the question I have to say to myself, love my roster, love the direction, who's my left tackle? So they do like Max Mitchell and talking to them. They like Vera Tucker, but who's your left tackle? It's Mekhi Becton, one game out of 34. Is it Dwayne Brown, 38 years old, played 12 games? As good as everything looks, who is going to play left tackle for the New York Jets?
You could almost argue that's the biggest glaring question mark heading into the season with this team right now.
Yeah, or you decide, because you already seen, I mean, you've seen Vera Tucker's versatility, is that if McGovern's the one who wins the job at center, you slide Tippmann over to guard and you put AVT at tackle.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of guys. right? And they have a lot of young guys and probably some interchangeable. So you're right. If it means, because you know AVT is able to do anything on this offensive line. So if it means right. you have to pop him in at left tackle. But I mean, the best thing would be is if Mekhi Becton is capable and healthy. But that's a really big jump to make.
Yeah, you want to consider trading for Jonah Williams or something like that.
Here's the thing. You're built to win immediately. Not week 10, not next season, immediately. You can't get off to one of these subpar starts where all of a sudden the season gets away. So, yeah, I would absolutely make a call to Cincinnati and see what their plan is with Jonah Williams.
Listen, your window's now. I mean, hopefully it's for 2 years. I don't know, maybe three, but I mean, right now is your opportunity to win. I mean, was Joe Douglas going to be able to replicate the draft he had last year with the kind of impact players that he drew? No, probably not.
Well, but, they didn't have the same draft equity this season that they did last.
Right, but you addressed some needs, and you traded back to get more. I mean, you traded around to get more picks, Trader Joe. But I mean, in a perfect world. I mean, addressing the tackle position would have been, priority number one. But because you swap picks and you had New England screw you again, you didn't get him.
I bet you New England did that, and they were thrilled to do it. If Belichick can find a way to have his way with the Jets and make them look silly, he will every single time. All right, we got to bring him in. I mean, he not only does he make mention about us once, he makes mention twice. Mel, we love you. And Three times, actually. Was it three? Yeah,
twice on day three.
Wow. You're like a superhero, Mel.
Well, it was amazing. For every can of whipped cream, I should have had like 50 mentions. But I figured let's divide it up a little bit and go twice on day three, which worked out perfect because it was weaved into different conversations. And I didn't even try to do it. It just was, right there. It was immediate. I didn't have to think about it. It's DiPietro and Rothenberg all the time.
It was wonderful to hear. And you know what? It felt heartfelt. Like, it wasn't forced.
It
was,
yeah.
These are my guys.
These are my guys. McShay will try to steal you guys at some point, but I'm not going to let him.
It's not going to happen. And you know what? Shame on them for bringing you full fatted whipped cream. How dare they do that?
Yeah, you saw that, didn't you? That was disappointing. That was very disappointing. They just don't know the rules. I'm going to tell you, they got to play by the rules. They didn't understand the rules, and they brought me original. Although it did hold up well in the sun out there in Kansas City, which a fat-free would not have done as well in that type of an environment.
I'm sure it wouldn't. All right, so let's get to it. I'm a Giants fan, as you know. I think they did sensationally. Walk us through how the Giants did in your mind.
Yeah, I think they hit every need. The corner with Noah Banks, the center with John Michael Schmitz, and a speed receiver in Hyatt. And Eric Gray is a nice back to get in the fifth round, which is why I always preach don't take a running back in the first round. And then late in the draft, the Owens kid from Houston is a guy. Watch him as a seventh rounder pick 254 who can make this team contribute right away on special teams. So, yeah, I thought with Banks, plug-and-play corner, he's got to be that guy. And John Michael Schmitz, I thought, was the best center in the draft. Now, some people thought it was Joe Tippmann who went to the Jets. I disagreed, but we'll see how that plays out. It'll be interesting to chart their two careers of those two players. I think Tippmann really is best served inside a guard, but obviously he's going to be used at center. Is he going to become Don Mosbar, these high-cut centers? Remember, Mosbar was like 6'7", had a nice career. Can Tippmann do that? We usually don't see centers this size in the NFL. It's a rarity. We'll see if he can handle it.
Yeah, he's super athletic, though. Mel, Jalin Hyatt in the third round. Were you surprised he lasted that long? And what do you think as far as, this season, his ability to step on the field and help out Daniel Jones in the offense?
Learn NFL concepts and routes, and that's the thing coming out of Tennessee. It's a completely college-friendly offense. Obviously, the quarterback there, Hendon Hooker, and not just Jalin Hyatt, but Cedric Tillman the previous year when he was healthy had a huge season. Jalin Hyatt did nothing that year. He averaged like 10 yards a catch. This year, he came forward, and he needed to because Cedric Tillman was hurt. Then even late in the year, they didn't have Tillman and Hyatt for the bowl game against Clemson. They're an underdog. Joe Milton's in for Hooker, so you don't have Hooker, you don't have Tillman, you don't have Hyatt, and they lit up Clemson. Joe Milton throws three touchdown passes and gets game MVP. So, again, the system is so, so impressive to watch that you can plug and play a lot of guys, and Tennessee's going to score points. So, again, that's something he'll have to adjust. He's going to add strength to that frame, too. He's got, you know, he's got to be a stronger receiver in the NFL than what he showed where he got free releases in college. So, again, that's Hyatt, I think, will be a work in progress to develop him as an NFL receiver. The other two, Banks and John Michael Schmitz, are going to be asked to do a lot right away.
All right, let's turn our attention to the Jets. It felt like 13-15 was a really big move because they didn't have the offensive lineman there. But an overview of how the Jets did in this draft.
You know, it depends upon Carter Warren and Joe Tippmann, because that's the – and, of course, obviously Will McDonald we'll get to in a second. But the O-linemen were gone by the time they picked. So Skoronski would have looked great in a Jets uniform. He went to Tennessee. Okay, we talked about Broderick Jones. Well, he goes to Pittsburgh on a trade up. So they were sitting there saying, okay, the linemen are gone. We can't force anything, so we'll take the best pass rusher. And a guy that was high on the board, obviously, because in order to get to pick a guy at 15, he's got to be inside your top 10, top 12, right? You can't pick the 17th guy at 15. So – again, Will McDonald, I liked him. Some people disagreed. Todd was not as high on him as I was. I had him projected at one point in like Mach 2.0 or whatever to go eighth to Atlanta. So I like Will McDonald. I mean, he has great bend. He's got great explosiveness. He was productive. He's a master of the strip sack. He will help get after Josh Allen, too, and all these great quarterbacks in the AFC. Joe Tippmann's a key guy. Joe Tippmann, to me, athletically, yeah, I see it. But he's on the ground too much. And you can't have that. And he's on, you know, with the legs and the feet everywhere, will he trip people up? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how he develops if he is, in fact, asked to be the center. I thought guard, but at center and anchor in the line, we'll see. He's got some things, he has some things he needs to improve on. There's an offensive line coach in the NFL with these teams for a reason. Joe Tippmann needs that. I think he'll get it. Wisconsin obviously produces linemen at a high rate. Carter Warren at Pitt. I mean, interesting guy, obviously, moving forward, because you get him in the fourth round. Talent-wise, could have gone higher. The injury, obviously, affected that. But in a band of Canada, Barnes was productive. Jerick Bernard Converse had a great pro day. 4-4 twice and a 42 vertical on the heels of being a good player at Oak State and LSU. I think he's more of a safety than a corner. We'll see. And Kuntz tested great, never played as well as you would have expected considering the numbers. But Ricky Ronnie brought him from Old Dominion to Penn State when he moved there. And anyway, from Penn State to Old Dominion, I should say, when he moved there. From OC at Penn State to head coach at Old Dominion, brings the tight end with him. Had the 1 year where he was really good, still only averaged 9 yards a catch. And then this year he was injured midseason. So they got some talent there late in the draft with those guys, and that's why I gave him a B. Some people say, oh, you should have given him a B- or a C+. I like Abanikanda, Barnes, Jerick Bernard, Converse, and Kuntz for where they got him. So and as long as Tippmann and Warren help solidify that line, if McDonald's getting after the quarterback, we may look back at this draft say it was an A. Or you could look back at this draft in a couple years and say it was a D. So there's a couple key guys in this draft that have to produce to make this draft, like I say, what it could be.
The great Mel Kiper joins us here on the show. Mel, the two names that you just you mentioned, Carter Warren and obviously Tippmann. What is the expectation that Tippmann steps in right away, if not at center, because they signed McGovern at guard? And Carter Warren, is he someone that's going to take some time?
I think he will. I think Tippmann's going to be intriguing to see where they fit him in. Like I say, I disagreed with Todd on that. Todd had him as the number one center. I didn't. I had John Michael Schmitz. Todd loves Tippmann's athleticism. And you see that on film. And you know Wisconsin produces offensive linemen at a high rate. I just wonder about a center that size who, like I said, if you watch Wisconsin, what bothered me was he was losing balance. And he's got, that's an offensive line coach can work on that. And when you're on the ground, that's not where you want to be. So there were some games 4, 6, 7 times, okay? Then it was multiple games. It wasn't one. It was like, oh, well, you're screwed. That was one game. No, it was too many games for me to say he's the number one center. Well, I still had two, which means I like a lot of things about Joe Tippmann. But like I say, these are why you have coaches in the NFL. Like I said, there's coach before your name for a reason. If you think you're getting finished products, why do we need you, right? Why do we need any coaches? If all kids coming out of college are ready to go and don't need any help, don't need any assistance, that's the one thing that people don't get about the draft. It's a lot of this is contingent upon how these coaches do. Do you have a coaching staff that is the best in the world, or do you have coaches that really just aren't as great as or as good as they should be? So your coaching staff in the NFL is critical in player development and getting guys to maximize their ability. And so one part of this equation when we look back, like, oh, the personnel department did a terrible job, or this guy, how did you draft this guy? a lot of the blame should go to the coaches, but it never does, it seems like.
All right, so Mel, take a step back from the locals for us here in New York. What teams in your mind did well, and what teams in your mind did not do all that well in this draft?
Well, I think everybody did okay. I mean, this was not a good draft, guys. This was not a good draft at all. That's why there were so many trades. People were looking more forward to next year's draft, because that's when you're going to have a much stronger. When you're in a draft like this, the sixth and seventh round was a lot of free agents. In a normal draft, these guys were a lot of free agents. So this was not a good draft. Keep that in mind when you look at it. So that's why you don't give anybody a D or a C, because they did the best they could with what they had. You can't pass on every pick. You got to make choices, right? So Philadelphia, I thought, did a great job getting the inside pressure with Carter, the outside pressure with Smith. Steen and Brown were really good, and Ringo, they did a really good job. It just set up well for them, guys. It just set up beautifully for the Philadelphia Eagles, right? And then you think about Seattle, same type of thing with John Schneider. Great draft last year, another really good draft this year. One thing he didn't get until Cameron Young in the fourth round is a run-stuffing defensive tackle, but Cameron Young was that at Mississippi State, so he finally got it in the fourth round. So you had to be patient with their draft. It did settle in, and they get the other A.
Mel, were you surprised in the first round that the two running backs went as high as they went?
No, because Gibbs is just a running back. Bijan can catch the ball and you can move him. They're using these guys differently now. So they're not traditional running backs where you say that's what he's going to do, 25 carries a game, minimal receptions, and we're happy. No, this is about moving guys out, basically making them an extension of a wide receiver position and slot guys and moving them around, creating mismatches. So Bijan can do that. Jahmyr Gibbs can definitely do that. That's what his forte is. Now, he did have, like, always highlight the one drop against Tennessee that cost him the game, but he is a heck of a football player. So when you say running back for Jahmyr Gibbs, that's not enough. He's going to be used as a receiver in the return game. He's dynamic. You know, they already have backs in place. They don't need him to be the main guy with Swift moving on. They brought in Montgomery, so they don't have to have him be the get his nose as dirty as the other backs do. He will be an accent piece in Detroit, and in that role, he should really flourish.
Are we going to look back at this draft years from now and say, boy, did the Titans hit a home run getting Will Levis in round two?
Well, I'm either going to hit a home run with them or I'm going to strike out with them. Okay, I'm right there with the Tennessee Titans on this one, so we're all going to go down swinging on this one. If that's the case, I'm going to go. I'll be behind Will Levis until he fails. I've been on quarterbacks till they fail before, so I might as well do this. So again, you know, there's nothing to prevent him from being really good. Again, I think that having Tannehill there for a year will help him. It won't be any pressure right away. He won't be called a bust if he doesn't do well in a few games. Peter Skoronski will help him moving forward. They can come into this Titan program together, along with Tyjae Spears and Josh Wiley, the H-back from the University of Cincinnati. Jalen Duncan as well, a sixth-round pick out of Maryland who has some talent, needs coaching as well, and needs consistency. So, yeah, I think this is a draft where we'll look back 5 years, 4 years, and say, wow, they stole a heck of a – and ironically, in a division with Richardson, I said this on draft day, Richardson and Stroud are in this division with Trevor Lawrence. So you're going to be having all three of these quarterbacks, these three rookies, compete against each other twice a year. Won't that be fun to watch? That'll even put an exclamation on either it's really a good situation for Will, or it's an exclamation point saying those guys were just better, and the Titans – yeah, they won't say the Titans were wrong because they ended up with him in the second round. They'll say I was wrong because I had him as a second quarterback. So for the Titans, it's kind of a no-win, a no-lose, because if Levis doesn't develop, he's the first pick in the second round, or second pick in the second round, 33rd overall. They'll move on from him. Okay, it's not going to cost them anything. If he is, they stole a guy, and they can, for 5 years, have a heck of a team around their quarterback.
And lucky for him, he doesn't have a fifth-year option. Right? I mean, you can look at it both ways. Stinks that, I mean, he had to sit there for the entire first round.
Exactly. And so for him, it's going to be a case where in year two, Will Levis will be asked to be the starting quarterback. Year one, he will not be.
Mel, I know this may be an unfair question, but when you look at a player on the offensive side and a player on the defensive side, do you have any names that stick out as potentially having the most impact right away for their teams?
Flowers in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson is going to run an expanded offense with Todd Monken coming in. Yeah, this offense will be nowhere close to what you've seen up until now with Lamar. So it's important they got that deal done because Lamar needed to be in today. He didn't need to be. He couldn't be in August 1st. He needed to be in today. So credit Eric DaCosta, GM, for getting that deal done, drafting Zay Flowers, having them all thrilled about being, you know, drafted to where they, you know, bring it brought into this organization, the drafting of Zay Flowers, celebrated everywhere. So that from that standpoint, certainly it was huge. For the Green Bay Packers, I think Lucas Van Ness is going to be a key guy. I wasn't as high on him as Todd is, but you can move him around. He can bring inside pressure. He can bring outside pressure, both up and down. So for Green Bay, that's what they'll need. And they did get some help for Jordan Love, but the first pick of Lucas Van Ness at pick 13 is going to be critical to what type of a Packer defense you see moving forward, because pass rushers are what you need. He has potential, but it's not there yet. Again, coaching for him is going to be very important.
All right, Mel, we know you got to run. We appreciate everything from you. You're such a good friend to the show. Thanks for the shout-outs, and thanks for the analysis, as always, and thanks for joining us. And we will hopefully talk to you not before too long. Good stuff, as always.
Well, I don't like that word, hopefully. I think you got to say you
all
will.
Right.
Hopefully means you may not talk.
No. Let's do a 2024 draft preview very soon. How's that sound?
That sounds a lot better.
There you go. Enjoy your whipped cream.
We'll talk then. See you guys.
Hopefully. Bye, Mel. Appreciate you. Good stuff.
I love that, man.
He's wonderful.
40 years.
That's a long time.
40 years.
You know what's cool about what he's done? This was not a job.
No.
Like you know, like now he's created an industry where you have so many people that sit around and analyze the NFL draft. This was not something that was even a job. He created his own job.
He's a trailblazer.
He really is. Like,
got
like
a bunch of other people jobs, too.
Like, Todd McShay would not be where he is, right? What's his name? Reed would not be where he is. Matt Miller would not be where he is. Like, all these guys. Like, would Pro Football Focus be the mock draft? None of this would have been possible if not for Mel.
No. And the amount of work, time, effort that he's put into this and that he continues to put into it, I think that's the most impressive thing for me. He's been doing it for 40 years and still puts in just as much time. Hey, dude, there were times during the draft, too, where he's just, like, off the top of his head bringing back, like, what the Cincinnati Bengals did in the draft that was, like, I don't know, like 30 years ago.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I wonder, because it's been, I think they said, like, 11,000 players have been drafted since he's been doing this. How many, if you said, fourth-round pick Packers, 1981, he'd be like, I'll remember everything about him.
Would it surprise you at all if he did?
No.
Not at all.
No, it would not surprise me. But by the way, RJ, you know what was curious there during that interview?
I think I know where you're going.
Before I go there, let me tell you, you're listening to DPH on Rothenberg, 98.70 ESPN, WEPN-FM, New York. Rick, did you notice that RJ had like a Rick, Mel only has this much time to join you guys?
Did I notice? No.
And then it
ran
out.
I was so ensconced in the interview.
And then it ran out, and guess who just said, I have another full, bulbous question to ask.
I thought it was a terrific question.
It might have been a terrific question, but what it screamed to me, and RJ, I don't know if you felt the same way, I have zero respect for Mel's time.
No. You know what it screamed to me?
What?
Is that there's one person on this show that takes the time and spends the money to deliver the whipped cream.
Doesn't matter.
Right.
It was a countdown clock for a reason.
I don't care. I'm going to get every question I want.
So we are now chaos is what we are.
So yeah. That gives you rights is what you're saying.
Exactly what it gives me.
Okay.
I got carte blanche.
So get him back on. You don't have more questions for him?
No, that was it.
You sure?
Yeah, that's it. I thought amazing. It was a nice little question. I mean, you asked the Levis question.
Well, no, I didn't have an issue with your question. I thought your question was delightful. The issue was this is exactly the amount of time he had, ran out of time, and you just decided because you're Mr. Whipped Cream, I'll ask another question. RJ, when he asked it, were you not like, oh, no?
I actually said to Ray, I said audibly, oh, no, we've gone over.
Uh-huh. It's because you guys aren't financially invested.
It was sheer panic back here.
I think that's true. I think this is a combination of two things. Rick throwing his financial might behind everything, and two, this is I attribute everything now to Aaron Rodgers related entitlement. I think that's what this is.
You think Aaron Rodgers makes him feel more confident?
We have Rodgers. I'll do what I want.
It's all connected.
It's like having an extra testicle.
Oh, my.
Is that beneficial?
Yeah, I mean, I could say I got a lot more. I got more stones.
Sounds painful, honestly.
You have to buy new pants.
I might need new underwear.
Why do you need new pants?
If I have an extra one, it's going to be a serious bulge.
All right, you know what? The results are in.
You really asked that question. You knew what was going
to
happen.
I'm reading. I have a promo to read. Thank you very much. The results are in for the Build Rick's Ride promotion presented by All American Ford. And here are the choices after thousands, hundreds of thousands, 2.6 million votes. You ready?
There was 2.6 million votes?
No. The color's going to be satin black.
Nice.
The rims, gloss black. The interior will be two-tone leather with diamond stitching. And then they'll hit it with the blacked out and smoked out package.
Oh, my goodness. This thing is going to be sick.
All American Ford has already started building the custom Bronco, and Timothy Nolan from Hazlitt Township, New Jersey, was selected to join us in VIP at this year's Beach Bash on June 30th and has a chance to win the car. We'll have plenty more chances to win the car coming up later this month, all brought to you by All American Ford Auto Group with huge locations throughout New Jersey in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. That is very exciting, is what that is.
I'm so happy that people voted on this thing, and they did.
Yeah, but they didn't give you some garbage car.
No,
they voted you and did you a good solid job.
Wait till you see this thing. It's going to be gorgeous, gorgeous. You want to talk about turning heads? And I'll tell you what the best part of this whole deal is.
What is it?
Is that I will be able to, because I'm going to. I'm going to drive this bad boy to the Beach Bash to give it away. I have no ride home. So they have no choice but to get me a vehicle home, which means I can be as
you're gonna
wild.
Get liquored up as
I'm going to be a mess.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
What?
You're going to be going on live television on the K Show.
Fine.
How inebriated, in fact, can you get?
I think is as inebriated as I wanted.
I wouldn't lay out the challenge.
I'm not. It wasn't meant as a challenge. So here's what's being shown today. He doesn't care about anything.
He has Aaron Rodgers. No,
he doesn't. I mean, nothing matters. Nothing.
Okay. It's like I got a new set of nudicles.
I don't know what to say. You know what I'll say?
Isn't that what they call them?
Yeah, that's what they call them.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.